Amen. So in chapter 5 here, we start out with the familiar pattern where he starts out just talking about the importance of advice and wisdom, instruction, listening to your parents, listening to the Word of God, listening to wise men that are giving you sound counsel and godly advice. But this time, that section of the chapter only lasts for the first two verses. Then he gets into the actual advice that he wants to give. So it starts on verse number 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Then he's going to get into the actual advice that he wants to give. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So the Bible's warning us here about the strange woman. Now, what does that mean, strange? This doesn't mean that she's weird, although that could be applicable as well. But what this actually means, strange, is more like foreign, more like someone that is not from your people, okay? So obviously the Israelites were surrounded by heathen nations that worshiped false gods, and they're doing all kinds of idolatry and polytheistic religion. This had nothing to do with race, because being a member of the nation of Israel had nothing to do with race, because people from other nationalities could join up and get circumcised and become a part of the nation. It never had anything to do with that, but it just had to do with the fact that they're either worshiping the Lord or they're part of these pagan nations that are worshiping false gods. And so today, I think the best way for us to understand the warnings about the strange woman is just talking about that worldly girl that's outside of church. She's not a Christian, and she's out there looking very inviting to the young man who's unsuspecting of the dangers. And so it talks about how, you know, her mouth and her lips drop like honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So obviously she has physical allure, and obviously there's a lot there that could tantalize some foolish young Christian man into thinking that he can mess around with this loose girl or hang around with this girl that's, she's not a Christian, she's not a godly girl, she's not a girl from church, but she's rather the strange woman, the woman that's outside of Christianity, outside of the faith, outside of church, that type of thing. It says her feet go down to hell, her steps take hold on, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So warning us against here is this attitude that thinks that you as a young person know everything about how the world works, and so therefore you can play around with this kind of girl and you're not going to go all the way off the cliff. You know, people who think that they can kind of play with sin and they know how far they can go without getting into trouble. And so the Bible's saying, you know, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. You might think that you have this girl all figured out and that you're in the driver's seat, as it were, but rather he's saying this woman is going to take you for a ride. And so do not think that you are so smart that you can mess around with hot coals and not get burned here. That's why the Bible says of the strange woman, don't even go anywhere near her house. Just get away from her. She's bad news. Don't say, well, you know, maybe I can have a little fun with her, but, you know, I know my limitations. No, you don't. Don't play with sin. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. So he says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Just don't go anywhere near her. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Now you say, well, how's this going to happen? Why would me hanging around with some loose chick or some promiscuous girl, how could that lead my honor be given to another, or you know, strangers being filled with my wealth or my labors being in the house of a stranger? Well, I've got two words for you that are going to explain verses 9 and 10. I'm going to explain verses 9 and 10 in just two words. It only takes two words to explain this. Child support. Okay, these are the two words. Child support. Okay, this girl is going to take you for a ride, okay, and you're going to be on the hook paying this girl for the next 20 years of your life. Okay? So that your labors are in the house of a stranger. So that your wealth is given unto strangers. Some other dude is going to be spending your money. Okay? You're going to go to work, and you're going to work hard to send your money to some whore and some other dude to go spend it while they're raising your kid in ways that you don't approve of. How's that sound? You know, you want to father some bastard child so that it can be raised in someone else's house and you're just paying money for this whore. It's a disaster. But you know what? How many of us know people that are in that situation? Probably everybody in this room who's an adult knows somebody in that situation. You know, there may even be some people here right now that are in that situation. But if not, you know a guy. I mean, I knew this guy that I worked with in the fire alarm business. He was paying child support to like three different women. And it was like his paycheck was just obliterated by all these deductions to where he's making all this money and it's just all going to strangers. It's all going to somebody else. And so do not get sucked in to this trap and think that you're going to be able to play with fire without getting burned. You know, you just need to stay away from these kind of loose, promiscuous women. They will use you, and you'll be paying the bill for many years to come. Now, look, in the first place, fornication is a wicked sin in the sight of God. Right? God forbids us from having that physical relationship outside of marriage. We're supposed to wait until marriage before we go to bed with that person. We are not supposed to be having that relationship outside of marriage, okay? So right there, it's just a sin. God forbids it. He tells us to flee fornication, run away from it, avoid it, okay? But, you know, God's laws are also there to protect us. Obviously, we need to just obey God's laws because God said so. That's the big reason. But reason number two is that God has these laws for a reason. He's trying to protect you. And you're the one that's going to screw up your life hanging around these loose women, picking up diseases from them. Because if they're easy for you, they're easy for everybody. Okay? Picking up diseases, fathering illegitimate children, messing up your life, it's not worth it. And that's why the Bible says your labors are going to be in the house of a stranger. See, Pastor Anderson, that's not talking about child support because child support didn't exist back then. You know, that's anachronistic for you to be reading child support into this. No, my friend, because the principles in the book of Proverbs are timeless. These are timeless principles. So maybe there's a different method whereby your labors are going to be in the house of a stranger in 2022. But one way or another, this verse came true back then and it comes true today. And not only that, it says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. That's your STDs right there. Consuming your flesh and your body. And you could get horrible diseases from these nasty women that are out there. And they're just being with dude after dude. Even dudes that go both ways. Bringing you all kinds of AIDS and monkeypox and chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea. You name it. All of those disgusting things that are carried around by the promiscuous, all right? So you don't want to mess with this. And you say, well, what are the chances that I'm going to get that? Well, since you're a born-again Christian who knows better, who's hearing the Word of God preached, probably pretty high. Because God's going to chastise you for ignoring this preaching right now, which is telling you His will, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And that every one of you would know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Now, one thing I want to point out here, when it talks about the strange woman, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, and all of these things. What we need to understand is that this is not all women. This is the strange woman. This is the loose chick. This is the promiscuous woman. Today, we live in a day where, unfortunately, a lot of men are getting a bad attitude toward women in general. And this is not biblical. It's not right. And honestly, these guys are just being stupid. Just call it what it is. It's called the MGTOW movement. Men going their own way. Isn't that cute? But these guys, they just act like all women are trash. Or sometimes they'll just say, well, all American women are trash. You know, other countries might have some specimens, you know, or whatever, that are still untainted. But these guys, they instead of just understanding the dangers of the strange woman who's going to take you for a ride, get pregnant with your kid, you know, rake you over the coals, divorce you, take your money, whatever. You know, they just have this attitude that that's just all women. And this is very foolish and wrong. And let me tell you something. Again, there's no new thing under the sun. I don't buy in for one second to this attitude that says, well, the women of today are just not like the women of yesterday. You know, you just can't find a good woman in 2022 America like you used to be able to. Folks, that is garbage. There have always been godly, virtuous women, and there have always been wicked, sinful, promiscuous women. There have always been both. It's not like all of a sudden women just went crazy. They've always been crazy. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is, you know, yeah, we have this feminist movement. That has always existed. This feminist attitude has always existed for thousands of years. It's nothing new. There's always been both kinds of women. And to turn around and just hate all women in general is wicked, foolish, and unbiblical. So don't just paint with this broad brush and just act like all women are like this. They're not. It's a certain type of woman that we are being warned about and told to avoid. You know, a lot of these bozos, just because they are failing to get a girlfriend or a wife, or then they just get sour grapes and it's just all women are bad, it turns out. You know, maybe there's just something wrong with you that you need to fix. Also, a lot of these guys, you know, they basically are only interested in women that look like a hooker. And then they wonder why she acts like a hooker. Well, she is dressed like a hooker. You know, they're only interested in these kind of Barbie dolled, hoochie mama kind of, you know, that, you know, whatever. These sleazy looking girls turn out to be sleazy. Can you imagine that? You know, what they need to do is stop looking for that worldly outward appearance of what the world tells you women are supposed to look like and look more at what's on the inside and actually meet some nice girls, Christian girls, godly young ladies, and actually find someone that they can connect with spiritually, emotionally, someone that they actually love for the person and not just looking for this outward image that's not even the right image anyway, okay? And so do not get sucked into this woman bashing for one minute. And it's the same thing, you know, there are women out there that just hate all men. And they just bash all men and hate all, they're called lesbians, okay? And so what does that make this other thing starting to sound like, Quit being a little faggot and start liking women again. Amen? All right. So it's easy to just whine and just, oh, you know, it's just society's the problem and women are the problem and all women are trash. You know, one of the problems that I could think of is that maybe this is a little bit of pride where you basically think you're better than everyone else. So you're too good for all the women out there because you're just too good because you're just so awesome. That sounds like you're filled with pride. Maybe you should humble yourself and realize women aren't perfect, but neither am I. Right? They're not perfect, you know, but I'm not perfect either. And so, you know, young men need to beware of the promiscuous woman, the strange woman, the floozy, the broad that's out there just, you know, going from guy to guy. But do not for one second get sucked into this idea that just says all women are bad, all women are like that, all American women. There are lots of nice, clean American women that are not out there being like this. And so do not slander an entire nation's women, okay? It's foolish. It's wrong. It's a cop-out. It's just a way to explain your personal problem by just blaming everyone else around you. So this is a certain type of woman that we need to avoid and that the young man is especially warned to avoid. And it says in verse 11, "Thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Saying, you know, why was I so stupid not to listen to advice? You know, my parents told me to stay away from that girl. The pastor told me to stay away from that girl. You know, why didn't I listen? I was such an idiot. But then it's too late when your flesh and your body are consumed. It's almost too late. So the wise man will hear these things in advance and say, you know, I'm not going to mess around with these worldly, easy girls. I'm going to seek after a virtuous woman, a woman that loves the Lord. That's what I'm going to make the priority. And so the regret is there, but it's too late. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Verse 15 kind of changes gears and gives positive advice. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So what the Bible is telling you here is, instead of spending your youthful years in your 20s just out shacking up and hooking up with all of these loose women, you know, fathering bastard children, getting filled with disease, incurring the punishment and wrath of God, instead of doing that, the smart thing to do is to get married. Okay, as a young man, get married. And marry a godly Christian. Say, oh, well, that's easy for you to say, you know, they don't exist. Or, yes, they do. They do exist, okay? And the thing about that is, you're only looking for one. You don't need 10, you only need one. So you only have to find one. And if you are actually serving the Lord and seeking first the kingdom of God, God's going to give you the desires of your heart. God's going to answer your prayers. God's going to take care of you. You know, maybe it's not going to happen immediately as fast as you want. You might need to be a little bit patient. But if you're putting the Lord first in your life, serving God, then God can bring along the right woman. And there are lots of godly Christian women out there, and you're only looking for one. And you say, well, I haven't found her yet, but it might just be because of the fact that maybe you're not ready. Maybe God knows that you need to do a little more work on yourself, and maybe you need to grow a little bit more, and then once you grow a little bit more, then he'll provide. And maybe he's doing you a favor by not bringing the girl of your dreams into your life right now, because then you'd screw it up, because you're too young and immature and naive, so he's waiting for you to get a little bit more mature so that when the right girl comes along, you will actually not blow it. All right? So be patient. Seek the Lord. You know, if we worry about God's business, then God will take care of our business. But if you're just living life for yourself and you're just worried about yourself, well then, you know, good luck with that. Right? But if you focus on serving the Lord, why don't you get out soul winning, get involved in church, read the Bible, pray, do all those things. God knows that you need a wife, right? God knows your heart. then trust Him to provide when the time comes. And so the answer to avoiding the strange woman, fornication, all the pitfalls, is to get married, right? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. That's the best way to avoid fornication, is to have the right relationship called marriage. And here's the great thing about drinking from those waters, is that they are only your own, according to verse 17, and they're not strangers with thee. You know, no normal man wants to share his woman with someone else. If you do, you're a pervert. Okay? Every normal man demands that his wife be faithful to him alone. But here's the thing. When you just have some girlfriend, your concubine, your live-in, your common law, your whatever, okay, she's not going to be necessarily exclusive to you. And eventually, she might move on with your kid in her womb, and you can just keep paying that bill for the next couple of decades, okay? So you want that well to be your personal well, and you don't want to share that with other people. This is not a wrong attitude. This is a godly, righteous attitude that every normal man has that says, I want my wife to be only unto me so long as we both shall live. And this is also the desire of women as well, right? They want their husband to be faithful to them alone. This is what marriage is, right? We enter into this bond, we enter into this covenant where we are mutually exclusive, faithful to one another, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, right? We will stay faithful to each other. That's what marriage is. This is God's plan. It's a better way of living life than the worldly alternative of just going out there and just shacking up. Or hooking up, I should say, you know, so that way I can bring my language up to date, 2022. So let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? He's saying that, you know, if you actually indulge in this desire righteously within marriage, where it's a godly relationship, then your appetite is going to be satisfied to where, you know, you won't even have the desire that you just have this compulsion that you just have to go out and be with all these strange women, right? Whereas obviously when one is single, this is more of a temptation, it's more difficult, and that's why young men are being warned, because young men have a very strong compulsion in this area, they have a very strong desire in this area, and it's hard for them to resist those temptations, which is why God says, don't go to that part of the city, don't go by that door, don't hang around that girl, because you don't want your hormones and your physical desires to get the best of you. So it's best to flee fornication, stay away, and ultimately the solution to this problem is getting married, right? You know, my brother explained this to me when I was a child, and here's the way he explained it to me when I was a teenager, I should say. He said, you know, and this is not, I hope this isn't offensive or insulting to anyone, because it's not meant to be, okay? It was a very wise, sage piece of wisdom. But he basically used the illustration. He said, you know, sometimes when you're out working, you're tempted by all the fast food that's out there. And this is when you're young and stupid enough to eat all the junk food and everything. But I'm saying, you know, but when you're a teenager, you live for fast food, right? I mean, come on. So when I was a teenager, you know, I just loved getting whatever, the Burger King, Taco Bell, right? Carl's Jr., Jack in the Box. You know, I mean, Long John Silver's. That one still sounds kind of good. But basically, you know, you're tempted by all this junk food. Now, it's not healthy, number one, but number two, it's expensive. So when you're a teenager, you can eat at home for free. Or when you're young married, your wife's cooking at home. She's making stuff from scratch. It's more nutritious. It tastes better. And she wants you to come home hungry. She doesn't want you to come home full. That's a good way to make your wife mad, right? Come home at dinner time like, oh, I already ate. Okay. So here's what my brother explained to me. He said, you know, if you pack a lunch and you eat that sandwich that you packed, you're going to be less tempted by Burger King. You're going to be less tempted by Jack in the Box because you just filled up on that sandwich. But if you don't bring anything, if you don't pack the sandwich, if you don't bring food, then the temptations are going to be strong because you're starving, your stomach's growing. And I can't even count how many times when I was a young married man, I would go out to a fast food place because of the fact that that's what my coworker was doing. And they'd just be ordering all the cheeseburgers and fries and sodas and everything. And man, I wanted to just jump in and be like, make it two, you know, whatever he just ordered. That's my flesh wanted, but I had my lunch there, you know? So I would just jump right into that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, jump right into whatever's in my lunch, and then you could withstand that temptation. But what if I had no food with me and it's, you know, would have been a lot harder, right? And so it's the same way with the physical relationship in marriage, you know. And this is, again, the reason I say I don't want to be insulting or anything is, you know, I'm not trying to say that, you know, marriage is like a subpar sandwich or something. Because honestly, the sandwich is better than what the stupid fast food place is selling anyway. And smart people will know that, okay? The homemade stuff is way better and more nutritious, but kids are not smart enough to realize this, are they? Kids, they think like, ooh, eating out. But as we get older and more mature, we're like, ooh, eating at home. Ooh, the home cooking. You know, and when we travel, it's like a step down because we wish we were at home eating the good stuff, the home cooking. And that if you marry that virtuous wife, you got some good home cooking going on. And so the point is, you need to eat that sandwich, okay, at home so that you're not out at the strange woman, which is Burger King, which is McDonald's. They're both going to give you a disease, okay? McDonald's, it's going to take you decades to get the disease because it's going to be like it's going to be heart disease. So, yeah, you know, the strange woman might give you a disease like in one night. McDonald's is going to take like 30 years to slowly kill you with heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and other problems, okay? But they're both going to kill you, okay? So the point is that, you know, the fast food place that's out there, it costs you too much. It's not worth it. It's junk. It's bad for you. But yet, the compulsion is strong because you didn't eat your sandwich, okay? Eat your sandwich at home, and then you're not going to be as tempted by those things, okay? That's why even in our house, we're always getting on our kids like, hey, sit down and eat this meal. Because sometimes they're like, oh, I'm not really that hungry or whatever, you know, and they'll try to skip a meal. And we're like, no, you need to eat breakfast. You need to eat lunch. You need to eat dinner. Why do we make them eat that? Is it just we're just food pushers? We just want to push our kids to eat more food? No, because we know that if they don't eat at a mealtime, what are they going to do? They're going to be snacking between meals. They're going to be out buying food and wasting money, buying stuff out. So we want them to eat the actual sanctioned, healthy meals at the right times. You know, and so, you know, getting married and having that sanctioned meal within marriage is going to help curb that appetite so that you don't have that desire to be ravished with a strange woman, verse 20, and to embrace the bosom of a stranger. Now you say, well, what about me? I'm unmarried. I'm single. So what do? You stay away from Burger King. You stay away from McDonald's. You stay away from Arby's. You stay away from Long John Silver because the temptation is too strong. That's why the Bible's saying, don't go buy her house. Don't hang around with these kind of women. Don't get cozy with these kind of women. Well, we're just friends, but these kind of loose women, you don't want to get close to them because the temptation is strong. You want to try to keep it out of sight, out of mind, and just kind of put your head down, nose to the grindstone, and just work and stay busy. You know, the best advice that I could give you as a young man to avoid the temptations of fornication is get busy doing other things that will distract you from that compulsion. And our society in 2022 is trying to keep that fornication on your mind all the time, aren't they? Through advertising, TV, movies, billboards, ads on the computer, they're constantly trying to put that in front of you and keep that on your mind. What you want to do is try to keep that off your mind and try to just get busy doing other things. You know, the worst thing you could do as a young man is have a bunch of free time, just a bunch of idle time. Man, get busy, right? You need to be working, study. I mean, get two jobs, right? Work hard, study hard, play sports, right? Exercise, just stay busy. And that will keep you out of trouble a lot. And especially, you know, I recommend for young men to get heavily involved in physical activity, like some kind of sports or exercise or something, because you need to burn off some of that energy, burn off some steam, and you got to get your endorphins somewhere else, okay? And so you need to find out about the runner's high and find out about powerlifting and find out about swimming and all these other things, you know, and so that you can stay busy physically doing other things so that you're not constantly fixating on the thing that you're not allowed to be doing, the thing that is off limits unto you, right? Meanwhile, you're making yourself a better person, you're serving the Lord so that you can eventually meet that godly woman, that virtuous woman, and you can be pure and marry her and wait until you're married. Then you can indulge in that relationship for the rest of your life, and then you're going to have just a wonderful supply of paper sacks of wonderful lunches, and you won't even be tempted by the fast food anymore. Okay. And so the Bible here is giving you the solution to the problem, ultimately being getting married is the best way to solve this problem. But until then, you just avoid her like the plague, these kind of loose women. Try to keep these things off your mind. And you know, somebody showed me a quote several months ago. I think it was from Sir Isaac Newton, but don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. But he basically said, you know, the best way to avoid fornication is not to constantly think about how you're not going to fornicate. Or he said, you know, it's really just to think about everything else and get your mind on other things. Because if I'm constantly thinking about not fornicating, then I'm basically constantly thinking about fornicating in that sense. So it's best to just get that subject off your mind and try to just busy yourself with other things, other goals, play the sports, work the jobs, learn the skills, prepare for your future life, stay busy. An idle mind is the devil's workshop, is what my mom used to always tell me when I was a kid. So he says, "Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." The Bible is saying, look, God is watching you. And if God sees you, you know, being a whoremonger, he's going to punish you. The Bible says marriage is honorable and all, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And so God's watching. Even if you think that you're going to get away with it, nobody's going to see you, God sees you and God's going to punish you. And so you want to make sure that you flee fornication, as the New Testament tells us. It says in verse 22, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself." The sins that you commit are going to come back and haunt you, is what the Bible is saying. They're going to come back and bite you. It's not going to be worth it. "He shall be holden with the cords of his sins." So your sins are going to tie you down, and they're going to bind you, and they're going to make your life more difficult. So just be smart, do it God's way, stay in church, serve the Lord, go soul winning, read your Bible, pray, get around Christian friends, get a job, get another job, work, study, exercise, and just be a godly person and don't be stupid and think like, oh, this is what young people are supposed to do at this age. No. Don't buy into that garbage, okay? Because you could end up paying the price for the dumb things that you do for decades. So, oh, this is what you do in your 20s. Well, okay, have fun reaping the consequences even into your 30s and 40s. And maybe even beyond that. It's not worth it. Don't you want to enjoy your 30s and 40s? Don't you want to enjoy your midlife? And when you finally have some resources, you've worked for 10, 15, 20 years in your field, so you've got, you know, you're making some money, and you've got your families established, you got your house, you know, you want to enjoy that time. You don't want to spend that time paying for somebody else. Sending your money over to somebody else, having money docked from your paycheck and sent over to somebody else. Or all the other problems that could come from fornicating. It's not worth it. You want God to bless you. You want God to give you success. Do things God's way. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go away. Folly means stupidity, foolishness, idiocy. So it's basically saying, you know, in the greatness of his stupidity, he goes astray. What an idiot! Why didn't he keep serving the Lord? Why didn't he follow God's rules? Why didn't he just keep it in his pants and wait to get married? No, he had to go be an idiot, and now he's paying child support for the rest of his life. Now he's got a disease. Now, and look, I'm not here to chastise. If you've done these things in the past, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. You know who I'm preaching this for is the young people that haven't screwed up yet. So I am not at all trying to chastise anyone for what they've done in the past. But here's the thing. If you've made some of these mistakes in the past and you're a godly person, you're agreeing with everything I'm saying right now. Like, you're not sitting there like, oh, you know, Pastor Anderson said that what I did was stupid. I mean, you should be like, yes, amen, it was stupid, and I don't want young people to do the same mistake. Because you're doing it right now, amen? You're living right now. Because you were smart enough to repent and get right and be living right now. Okay? So why would you get offended if I talk about stupid stuff you used to do? You were smart enough to quit doing that stuff. So you should want me to warn the next generation not to do it, not to make those mistakes. And if you're still doing this kind of stuff, well then, you know, that means that you're a fornicator and you need to be thrown out of the church. But that's another sermon. So do not fall into the trap of the strange woman. Oh, she's so beautiful. Of course she's beautiful. Of course her mouth is like honey and smoother than oil. Of course she allures through the lust of the flesh. But that is just a facade. Okay? That is like a bullfighter, you know, holding out the red cape and saying, you know, Toro, Toro, right? And basically you're the stupid bull who runs into that and doesn't realize there's a sword waiting to slay you, okay? So the red cape is the strange woman, okay? The matador is the devil, okay? The sword is child support, STDs, and the wrath of God. Okay. Any questions? Let's bow our heads in that word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for warning us. And Lord God, I pray that every young man would have the strength to endure temptation and to stay on the right path, to stay away from the strange woman, not to be caught by that bullfighter known as the devil who's ready to slay him. Lord, help us all, even those of us that are married and that are older and wiser, Lord, help us also to avoid temptations of adultery or other temptations that the devil has for us, because we know that at all ages and in all situations, there are temptations of this world out there, Lord. Help us all to be smart enough to stay on the right path, Lord, and to always seek first the kingdom of God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.